whether you are sitting under a shade tree, in your car, or at your home. We gather together to worship a living and loving God. And we believe in the power of prayer. So if you have prayer requests, make sure that you text it to our number. And we will, Pastor Susan will look at those during our prayer time. Let us pray now. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful morning. We come before you in the magnificence of your creation to worship and give you praise. We see your hand all around us. In this moment, help us to lay aside every care to focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There seems to be a theme or a metaphor in our lives right now, and I would say that would be storms. Would you agree with that? Whether it's literal rain and wind, which we've had lots of, health, financial, political, jobs, getting our children back to school, excuse me, or other things, life feels like a storm. Today, Pastor Susan is teaching about those stormy waters. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2 state, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." You know, in the eye of the storm, God is still our refuge, our fortress, and he alone can calm the storm around us and within us. Let's sing "Eye of the Storm."
1, 2, 3.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been told out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, when my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. When the tears of pain and mourning are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of a war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When the sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, when the death comes in, when the darkness says I've only got a few months left, it's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of a war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, we trust in God, he may call us out upon the stormy waters. What an opportunity we have today to be an encouragement to others, to share the love of God, and to say around us and even within us, yes, there is a storm raging, but we have faith in Jesus Christ who calms us in the midst of the storm, who steadies our feet, and whose love will never leave us. May we keep our eyes on him.
Great unknown, with feet may fail, and ever find when the mystery in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. The deep and fair earth surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise,
instead of the cross, because they didn't want people the first people. So we say, we're making a mark somewhere, so let them know Christian is in there. A lot of times they use anchors, because that's something fishermen might use it. But also, we have a cross in it. But the other thing I love about it is, so if you're sailing a boat and a storm comes on you, some of the things we can do is drop anchor. And you have to do it with enough chain so that your boat can move around with the waves. If you do that, you'll be safe. And I think if you just print it kind of like our anchor, you know, if you've been having feelings, the wind might be pushing a pink way or something like that, you don't have to do that. But if you can use your card to keep us steady, and you keep us safe. So, you have to think about things you can do in your mind.
Good morning. We had some technical difficulties this morning with the live drive-in outdoor hybrid service with the sound, and so I am now going to preach a similar message from Sanctuary, hoping that the sound quality will be better. Well, I'm going to begin by reading the scripture. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of to the other side, where he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we hear these words, we hear about the storm, and Lord, we are reminded of our own storms, whatever they might be. So Lord, help us to see how it is you can bring us through the storm, even when the water is over our heads. Lord, show us how we can survive the storm. Amen. Well, originally I was thinking that I might title this sermon, "The Anchor Holds," and there's a gospel song by that name. It's not one of my favorite. As a matter of fact, I think the song we sang this morning, "Oceans," is a better fit with this message. But I am reminded that God does have a sense of humor. While I was thinking about and considering that we would probably end the service with a song from the hymnal, where the chorus is, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand," God decided to demonstrate what sinking sand would look like after the big rains we had on Thursday here. A sinkhole opened up in the churchyard down near Route 11. So, and apparently there's a little cave back down in there, which may be not that surprising to some of you with all the rain we had, but it's my first sinkhole. So as I was thinking about firm foundations and all of that, God was having a little fun with me, it felt like. Well, we have had some storms in the last few days. Some pretty heavy rains, and some places have been hit harder than others. I heard that the other night Stanton had 5 inches of rain and was seeing water rise. And that can be in produce some anxiety. I felt some of that anxiety on Thursday night as I was trying to drive home and was turned back several times because there was water deeper than I wanted to cross in my car in several places. And there was a state trooper turning people back over somewhere near Battlefield Road. So I also, though, want to talk about that anchor, that symbol. It was one of the earliest symbols of Christianity. In the first century, when Christians were being persecuted, instead of using the mark of the cross as a sign that a Christian had been there or that someone was a Christian, they would use the sign of an anchor. That same kind of anchor that Popeye had tattooed on his arm. You know, it has the cross piece, the circle at top and the cross piece, and then comes down into that bow shape. And since the anchor contained the shape of a cross and was a symbol for sailors, they often used the anchor instead of the cross to designate that somebody was a Christian. It was just different enough from the cross that people who weren't Christians wouldn't notice it, but it was, you could see the cross in there. And there is that symbol of Jesus Christ as our anchor in a storm, an anchor on a stormy sea. And I think about that as I think about our scripture this morning and some of what was going on there. Jesus had been trying to get away from the crowds and pray. He had just learned that his cousin John the Baptist had been executed. And so he got in a boat. He was going to go to the mountain to pray, but the crowds see him, see where he's going, and they follow him. So when he lands the boat with his disciples, the crowd is already there, over 5,000 people. And so Jesus has pity on them, and he heals them, and I assume teaches them. And then when it gets late, he feeds them. He takes the 2 fish and 5 loaves, and he feeds the whole crowd. He does this miracle, and then he dismisses them, and again he tries to go away into a lonely place up on the mountain in order to pray. And he sends his disciples on. He tells them to cross the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and he's going to pray. But while he's praying, a storm comes up. And apparently the Sea of Galilee was known for having, and still known for having, sudden storms crop up. There are high hills beyond the sea, and so cool air is funneled down through the hills to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where it has a kind of a warm semi-tropical climate. And when that cold air from the hills hits that warm air by the sea, storms are often the result, storms that come in very, very quickly. And so there they are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, not making any progress. And I think about them, how they were probably in an open boat being tossed this way and that, probably had to have the sails down to keep them from being ripped by the wind or being tossed even more in an even more chaotic way. And it must have been fairly miserable, cold, wet, anxious, worried. There they are in the boat until they see a figure approaching them, which is strange considering that they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And one or several of them say, it's a ghost, because you don't expect a figure to come walking towards you across the sea. And this was probably, this was the fourth watch of the night. So that means it was somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So probably still either very dark or still somewhat dark. And so when they cry out in fear, Jesus says to them, you know, it is I, do not fear. And so they So they see him, and that's when Peter has this reaction. He says to him, he says, well, you know, Jesus, if it's you, then call me to you and I will come over to you. And I think about that, and I think about how there seems to be some doubts in Peter. You know, if it's you, enable me to come to you. If it's you, because maybe it's not you. Maybe it's someone else pretending to be Jesus Christ. And so it's almost like the anxiety that Peter has been experiencing on this boat, on this open water, in this deep water, has made him suspicious, has made him doubt who Jesus Christ is. And so he says, you know, if you are able to do this, then, you know, just dazzle me beyond all doubt. Make me walk on the water, and then I'll know it's you. I'd like to trust that you are Jesus and you can save me, but I'd like some proof first. Almost seems to be what Peter is saying. And so he steps out of the boat. Jesus says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he's doing it for, we don't know for how long, for a few seconds, for a couple minutes. But then he looks around, he sees the waves, the wind, the sea, and he starts to sink. And he calls out to Jesus to save him. And Jesus catches him. And together they get into the boat, and the storm ceases. And I think about that, and Jesus says to Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? Wow. And I've been in that place of little faith. Maybe everybody has been there at some time or another. And I know that in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of infection, in the midst of this invisible enemy, in the midst of wondering what's coming next, when will this end, what can we hope for, I know that I've had doubts as well. You know, I mean, God isn't like a vending machine. You don't put in your quarter, your prayer, and you get your answer. The answer that, yes, everyone will be healed and everything will be all right. It doesn't work that way. And I think about Peter's answer and, you know, that idea that, hey, you know, I can trust you through the storm if you'll just show me some reason to hope. Even though Peter steps out of the boat, his circumstances around him are wild and turbulent, and it's hard to have faith in those conditions. It's hard. It's easy to doubt when the wind is blowing and the storm is going and the ground is falling away. I doubted because it seemed like there was no easy way forward. I doubted because people are getting sick all over the world. I doubted because there was so much chaos around me. And yet, I'm also reminded that there is a reason to have hope. There is a reason to drop anchor, to find that place of calm that we receive through Jesus Christ. I remember when I was working in Norfolk before I became a minister, when a storm would come in, and I think it was there were several storms and at least one or two named hurricanes that were predicted to come in. And when that would happen, the big Navy ships would sail down the Elizabeth River. The division that I worked in, our offices looked, we're up on the fifth floor, and we looked out over the Elizabeth River, and we could see these Navy ships sailing down the river, going out towards open water where there was no danger that they could crash into one another or their lines could become entangled. And when I saw those ships coming down the river, I knew that a storm was coming. I knew that there would be a time of turbulence and storm and chaos. Or that it was very likely that it would come. Sometimes it wouldn't amount to much, but other times there would be flooding in the streets, there would be water, it seemed like everywhere. And yet, we hear that the anchor holds. In the letter to the Hebrews, the anchor is used as a symbol of hope. We are told we have this hope as an anchor to the soul, that it will hold firm. An anchor to the soul, that's Jesus Christ that the letter to the Hebrews is talking about. He is that anchor that holds, that can hold the soul firm. And sometimes it's easy to doubt, but it's so much more peaceful when you can cast off that doubt and pass it on to Jesus Christ. When we can say, here, you take it. If you were around in, I think it was 1972, that was the year that Philip Petit and accomplices strung a tightrope between the Twin Towers and walked across it, not once, not twice, but 8 times. Not only did he walk across it, he lay down on the tightrope, he kneeled on the tightrope, he went back and forth between the buildings. Now, this was a long time ago, and of course the towers don't stand anymore. But I remember that when we were playing tourist and we went up into one of the towers, they're so tall that when you look down, you see that the horizon is curved. You're that far up off the surface of the earth. And that's pretty high. When you're up there, you're looking down on planes that are flying over the East River. And to imagine that this person had the bravery to walk across a tightrope strung between the two towers. Well, it wasn't authorized, it wasn't sanctioned. They put up everything surreptitiously. He was arrested after he finished his stunt. But he wrote in a book that he later penned about Knotts, that what made him able to walk across that tightrope were the knots that were the anchors for the guy ropes. The cable he walked across is steel, but it's secured by ropes with special knots that anchor the cable, that keep it steady. And Jesus Christ is that anchor for us, that even if we feel like we're imperiled, we're walking a tightrope between one bad situation and another, Jesus is the anchor that holds us fast, that keeps us steady, that gives us hope. And I think about that hymn. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I can stand firm and have hope because Jesus Christ gives me that sure foundation, that certain hope. He is my anchor on a storm-tossed sea. He is the promise that whatever happens, we will come through this and come through it together. Amen.
Lean on Jesus' name.
be overwhelming flood. When all around my soul betrays, even is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
God is so good.
Do that. Good.